know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tucker, that is, 8:15. You look at the map, the tropical map. You see the green line, oval, whatever you want to call it, with the yellow X and all of that. Area of low pressure, medium chance of tropical formation in the Gulf in the coming days. The circle goes to the east of the Florida Panhandle, just about to the border of Louisiana and Texas, but primarily, it's going to be a rain event, is what they're saying. Tropical depression could form. If it does, it would be named Dexter when it gets to the point of naming a storm. And if we're going to name something Dexter, given the serial nature of the name, a serial killer nature of the name, I'm just soon it'd be a shoo-shoo. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff Palermo?
Here we go. Sorry about that, Tommy. How are you doing today?
We're fine. I'm good. You?
I am doing well. I am doing well.
Have you, do you know what a shoo-shoo is, or is that a new
one? No, I do not. No, you'll have to.
A shoo-shoo is like when you have a firework and you light it and it doesn't really pop. It just kind of, we call that a shoo-shoo in New Orleans, or maybe it's a West Bank thing. I don't know. But I realize sometimes I use these colloquialisms and people don't know what they mean. Let me talk about Trey Green. I know Brian Kelly mentioned him yesterday. I was impressed by this young man from the first time that I saw him. Let's talk about, I guess, start there with Brian Kelly in media days, Jeff.
Yeah, Brian Kelly, really high on his team, and there's a lot, you know, he's not afraid of the expectations that are around this team. Most feel like it should get to the college football, should be one of the 12 teams that make the college football playoff. A lot of emphasis on winning game one. We all know that LSU has lost their last five season openers, and they are not running from that. They're not hiding from that. They're not saying, oh, well, you know, this game against Clemson, it's just another game on the schedule. No, they are really looking at it as, we got to win this game. We have to win this game. Now, yes, they could go ahead and lose this game and still go 10-2 this season and make it into the college football playoff. But I think it's important for this program to get a win in the season opener. And this, when you look at their last five season opener losses, this might be their toughest test. So they're really, because this is going to be a very good Clemson team with a quarterback that's returning, just like Garrett Nussmeier, and you got to play at their place. It's not a neutral site game. So this will be a tough test. But Brian Kelly loves the fact that Garrett Nussmeier's got a year of experience under his belt. He thinks the offensive line is going to be, he said he's very bullish on the offensive line, even though they've lost four starters from that unit, and really feels what they've been able to do in the transfer portal as far as getting players to, in particular, help on the defensive side of the football will really give Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, the tools he needs for LSU's defense to compete for an SEC championship.
And that brings me to another one of my favorite players, who is Whit Whitaker.
Whit Weeks,
I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw that extra WH in there.
Yeah, Whit Weeks is healthy. We remember in the bowl game, suffered what at that time looked like a really gruesome injury on his ankle, but he's ready to go, and he's a fan favorite, obviously, and I think I really feel like Brian Kelly feels really good about, you know, this is a guy that's basically started for a year and a half, or has played a lot of football over the last two seasons. He gets to the football fast, and a healthy Whit Weeks, a healthy Harold Perkins, and playing him in the position where he can create the most havoc, which is the star position in this defense, which is kind of a hybrid linebacker defensive back position, and allows him to roam the field a little bit more. They really feel really good about those two guys in particular.
Yeah, I got so busy saying Whit. He doesn't pronounce it that way, does he?
Whit Weeks is how
it's W-H-I-T.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like the word what? I guess you would definitely, you would traditionally say what, but nobody actually does that. He's got a brother too. What's his brother like?
Oh, he's got, well, he's got Wes Weeks on this team, and his brother was a guy that he could have easily ended up coming back, or it could have gone tried the NFL route, but they actually redshirted him last year to give him an opportunity to and he wasn't necessarily fully healthy last season, but he's healthy this year. They're thinking that a veteran guy like this, who's been around for a while, he started out at Virginia. This is his fourth season with the Tigers. They really feel like he could be one of those guys that can really contribute, not only on defense, but special teams as well.
Let me take a break. We'll talk about the quarterback position when we come back. Now everybody's got a room, right, Jeff? It's not a position anymore. Now everybody's got a room. It's the receiver room. It's the quarterback room. It's the and it's interesting how phrases like that catch on. Jeff Palermo is our guest, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. If you go to WWL.com and look under Jeff Palermo, you'll find something entertaining to read. I can guarantee you that. 821 traffic now, WWL. Yeah, but it's not just me. Tim Zimmer, Manning Master Control, doing a tremendous job as always. You got Jordan Fiegel producing from an unknown location. And we get great guests like Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. So let's talk about the quarterback room or position, as it's otherwise known. Joe Burrow, year one, won 10 games in a bowl game. Year two, the Heisman. Jaden Daniels, won 10 games in a bowl game. Year two, the Heisman. Doug Nussmeier. Won 9 games and a bowl game. What about this year?
Well, that's the obviously the pattern tells you that Garrett Nussmeier should win the Heisman. It's just not that easy.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Though, but when you think about year ones for Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels, they were good seasons. They were not great. I could make the argument that Garrett Nussmeier had a really good season last year. I mean, he threw for 4,000 yards. And Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels certainly didn't reach that type of level in their first year as a starting quarterback. And Nussmeier threw for 29 touchdown passes a season ago. When you go back to Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels, very few touchdown passes for those guys in their first year as a starting quarterback. So there's a couple things that Garrett Nussmeier is working on to help himself as far as not only win the Heisman, but help his team win a national championship. Talked about yesterday how he changed his body a little bit so that he can take on a little bit more of a pounding. He's going to look to run some more. Last year, he threw 12 interceptions, and he feels like, there were times where he tried to force it down the field. Instead, maybe he should have just tucked it and tried to run for a few yards or at least get back to the line of scrimmage or not try to do the dangerous play. I think we all remember the interception that he threw against Texas A&M that really changed the complexion of that game. That's out of the 12 interceptions that he threw a season ago. That's one that he would certainly love to have back. So it's hard, as Brian Kelly said, it's hard to say, hey, this guy is going to win the Heisman Trophy because it's such a difficult award to win. But one of the things that Brian Kelly talked about was he didn't come back here to win the Heisman. He came back here to win a national championship. Nussmeier really feels like there's some unfinished business, and he feels he's got the talent around him. He's got a lot of speedy receivers. I think the key for LSU offensively this year is to develop a consistent running game or a ground game that they can really rely on. They just have not had a traditional rushing attack the last couple of seasons. Jaden Daniels, he was the guy that did it a couple years ago, and then last year they really struggled to run the ball at times, especially key moments. So that will be something we'll be certainly watching once preseason camp gets going on. How are they going to be able to run the ball, especially with this new offensive line?
Jaden Daniels was the rushing game for LSU.
Yes.
Let's face it. He was the rushing game. And thank you for diplomatically correcting Garrett Nussmeier. I said Doug. Because, look, Jeff, things go by so fast. I still think of Doug Nussmeier sometimes the Saints quarterback. That was 1996, which was a while ago. But relatively speaking, things change so fast. Let's talk about LSU baseball real quick in the Major League Draft.
Well, they had five more players selected, starting with Daniel Dickerson in the sixth round yesterday to Milwaukee Brewers. Jared Jones went in the ninth round to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Jacob Myers, a local kid from Ascension Parish, who really came on strong out of the bullpen for LSU late in the season last year, also a ninth round pick to the Red Sox. Cade Woods, who barely pitched in his two seasons at LSU, went in the 10th round. He's been really pitching very well this summer in the Major League Baseball. It's like the Major League Baseball draft. They put a lot of prospects in a summer league, and teams get a chance to scout him a little more, and he's been pitching very well. And then Connor Ware, who started off strong for LSU last season and really faltered off, and I don't think he was really healthy when the season ended. He was drafted late. I think it was 15th or 16th round to the Mets. But interesting, who was not drafted? Zach Collin was not drafted, so he's coming back. Chris Stanfield was not drafted. Will he come back, or will he pursue an undrafted, or will he just pursue and sign as an undrafted a rookie? And then Luis Hernandez, who's out of college eligibility, was not drafted either. That was kind of sad to see, because he meant so much to this 2025 national championship team. He'll now try to sign with someone as an undrafted player and try to make his way up through the minors that way to Major League Baseball.
He's good enough. He'll make it. August 1st, still the starting date for fall practice, Jeff, as far as you know.
That sounds about right. It's probably right around there. August 30th, obviously, the season opener at Clemson.
Yep. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always. We'll take a break, talk to Jeff Nowak when we come back about the Saints. Right now, we pause for WWL First News. 8:47, 13 until 9. Soon the steamy fields of summer will yield the champion of autumn. It's not terrible. Tommy Tucker, 8:47, 13 till 9 with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
You're doing good. That was a nice lead-in. I think, you know, but I think by football season you'll have it nailed down.
By football season, the steamy feel. Man, I was watching some stuff. I like to put on when I pump aluminum. I was saying this the other day. I like to put on innocuous stuff so I don't really have to pay attention to it. And I saw some NFL classic stuff from the 1960s and 70s, but it was done in the 80s, I guess. And whatever I saw, they had scores running at the bottom on a crawl of when the Oakland A's were in their Moneyball phase. So, man, that was a whole bunch of history on TV at one time. Let's talk about the Saints. What are you looking forward to, and what are they doing now? I guess off all on their individual pursuits?
Yeah, I mean, players are going to report soon. I can't remember the exact day, but, you know, we'll have practice kicking off, late next week. Yeah, at this point, it's kind of just a waiting game. The only thing that really hasn't happened yet that we're still kind of trying to see is Tyler Shuck signing his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. 30 of 32 second-round picks in the NFL this year have not signed their rookie contracts. The first two picks of the second round, who were Jaden Higgins and Carson Schwechinger, they got fully guaranteed deals. The first time a second-round pick's ever got a fully guaranteed deal. Mm-hmm. So now, as you can imagine, there's some conversation going on with the teams and the agents about fully guaranteed deals down the line. Tyler Shuck is the number 40 pick, but he's the quarterback. So, you know, there's a positional value there that kind of makes him one of the lead dogs in that conversation. So
is there a lot of leeway, Jeff, though, when it comes with the CBA about contracts, rookie contracts?
About guaranteed money for the second round picks, yes. And it's, we've seen in the past, these contracts get dragged out down the line. Alonte Taylor didn't sign his contract until he reported for camp. I remember Foskey a couple of years ago, similar situation. And so it's mostly just, the agents trying to get the best deal for the player. What makes it interesting this year is the fully guaranteed contracts, because, you know, for example, Tyler, if he signs a fully guaranteed contract at number 40, all the players ahead of him will have the leverage to say, I want a fully guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. So he'd be effectively negotiating the contracts of everyone ahead of him. And that would be true if he took a non-guaranteed deal for all the players behind him. Mm-hmm. So if Tyler agrees to whatever terms these are, then, you know, it's all kind of tiered. Mm-hmm. So the 41st pick would have, okay, well, that's what he signed for. This is what I'll sign for. So once one guy signs, it'll start to move down. And I think teams are invested in making sure that isn't a fully guaranteed contract. They don't want to set that precedent. But that's kind of a minor deal. The only reason I bring it up is because the biggest thing to talk about is the quarterback competition. Mm-hmm. And at this juncture, we're not sure if he's going to be there. And I expect him to be there, but I'm just really kind of setting that tone of hopefully that's the case. And it's not something we end up talking about. But it's kind of the topic of conversation right now. And the Saints are in a more disadvantaged situation if that does happen, because it's the quarterback position, and he's a guy who you think might go in there and win that job. So that's kind of the biggest thing, and we'll see how that quarterback competition looks, whether he's there or not. I'm really intrigued to see Spencer Rattler and how he's going to attack this training camp, because, you know, I think there's a chance that both these guys show up and look really good. I expect Tyler to show up and look like a rookie, look like a guy kind of making that transition. I want to see Spencer show up and look like a guy who's ready to play right away. So that's going to be the biggest question.
Let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back. You know, if I'm Shuck's dad or agent, I'm telling that young man to sign your deal and get your rear end into camp, because I don't think you want to be pulling a holdout. However, you talked about it was somewhat tiered. I guess it's also, it's not to be make a pun or anything, but it's somewhat peered as well, because his peers are kind of watching what he does, right?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. That's exactly what's going on.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up with Jeff Nowak when we come back. 851 Traffic, WWL. All right, 8:57 and a half. Quickly back to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, talking about the quarterback position. Tyler Shuck's yet to sign his deal. Spencer Rattler, the Rattler, as I understand it, has been holding out some, holding some sessions with some receivers. What's going on there?
Yeah, so all the quarterbacks have been out throwing with the receivers, right? So Spencer wasn't able to be a part of the first session they had. He was holding a camp out in South Carolina, does it annually. So he had a session out in Arizona. And that's what you want to see this time of year, is those receivers, those quarterbacks building that chemistry, that camaraderie. Because, you know, new offense, new defense, like all of these systems that we've been used to watching are going to be a lot different. So, yeah, that's a big part of this stage of the offseason.
So could Tyler Shuck have sessions with the receivers or not until he signs?
Oh, he can. Yeah. You know, they can do whatever. There's a reason they call them OTAs, and organized team activities throughout the process.
So unorganized, you can do whatever you want.
Disorganized, I guess. It's really a matter of who's organizing them. So if they're organized by the team, you have a limited number of things you can do and the amount of time you can spend. And the players are able to do whatever they want on their own. So that's why you see.
Well, that was a dumb question. I shouldn't have asked it. But do what they want on their own up until their contract says they can't. Like, you don't want somebody to, like, doing stupid stuff, right?
Sure, you don't want people taking ski trips 2 weeks before the season, which in the summer would be tough to do, but you get the idea.
So when it comes to, and we only have a minute left here, when it comes to going into training camp and dividing up reps, is there a listed starter? Do you divide them up equally between a Rattler and Tyler Shuck?
That's what we're going to have to find out. They did divide them up equally during minicamp, but the question is, okay, you're going to have Jake Haener in the mix. How many do you have for each guy? And how long does that last? But that's probably what you're going
to
look at.
If you had to guess right now, just guess. No, I'm not holding you to this, but looking in the Nowak crystal ball, what would you say? Who's the starter come opening day?
Rattler.
Okay.
My guess.
The Rattler. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Appreciate it as always. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. We'll take a break, come back, talk about people taking their vacation. Do you take all of yours or not? And then we're going to talk about a new sporting event coming to town that has me shaking my head. The participants shake their heads as well. We'll be back, WWL.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.